Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Carlene Karst as my special expert guest. Carlene Karst, RD, is a leading health specialist in nutrition and natural medicine and is dedicated to improving the health of society by sharing her knowledge. Carlene holds a Bachelor of Science in Nutrition from the University of Saskatchewan, Canada, and is a registered dietitian. Carlene writes for health and nutrition publications and appears on radio and television shows across North America. She is author of the newly released The Metabolic Syndrome Program, How to Lose Weight, Beat Heart Disease, Stop Insulin Resistance, and More, and is the co-author of the national bestseller, Healthy Fats for Life. Carlene is currently the Director of Education for Nature's Way. Good morning, Carlene, and welcome to SNU.
Well, good morning, Corey. It's so nice to be on your show this morning.
And it's really our privilege, and thank you so much for taking the time. Now, everybody wants to know who you are, so maybe you can tell us what it is that you're doing and how you got into the career of natural medicine and nutrition.
Well, thank you, and I think you would agree with me that it's such an exciting field to be in, and I really think this is the career in the field of the future. And I think that as we look towards different issues and health issues that consumers are having, they need to rely upon natural medicines, especially on a preventative basis. And so I'm just thrilled and privileged to be a part of this industry. And I actually was born and raised in Saskatchewan, so I grew up on a farm, and actually this is how I got into the whole area of essential fatty acids. Right out of school, started working for a company that supplies flax and was actually the leading supplier of flax around the world, because of course the Canadian prairies are known for their high quality flax products, and so it became very, very near and dear to my heart. I think a lot of people look at myself as being a registered dietitian. They say, oh, how can registered dietitians work in the natural health industry? But I think it's an exciting area to be in. I'm a dietitian who believes that we need to get our nutrients from our food as best we can, but I think you'd agree with me, the state of our food that we're consuming is not what it once was, and so thank goodness that we do have some of these amazing natural medicines and supplements that we can utilize to help improve our health and give us some of the nutrients that are missing in our diet.
Now, you said a lot of things that I want to get to, but what you just said also raises an issue that dietitians are sometimes perceived as having like conventional views that are almost antagonistic to some of the concepts held in natural medicine. So why do you think that is, and what has your experience been with your reception as a dietitian in the industry?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, and I think everything that you said is definitely the way that dietitians are perceived. And of course, we're perceived as promoting the Canada Food Guide, and that being the most important thing that consumers can do and that Canadians can do is follow that food guide, which is great. But as we know, the food as it is now is not what it once was. And so as a dietitian, I definitely stepped outside of the box and in terms of pursuing natural medicine. And I started out my career as a clinical dietitian, and after about 3 months of working in a hospital doing diet counseling to patients who had had a heart attack, I thought, you know what, this is not for me. This is a little bit behind the times, and I need to step out there and really work in the preventative field and promote health and nutrition and vitamin supplementation so that we can prevent people from developing some of these conditions. What we see is with dietitians that they are definitely not perceived to be natural in the natural health field friendly. However, what I am seeing when I attend different conferences and the Canadian Dietetic Association meetings, etc., they are starting to become more open to this field of natural medicine. And I think one of the key issues is with all mainstream and conventional medicine, whether it's general practitioners, dietitians, pharmacists, is the level of validation and the level of science that we can present on some of the products that it is that we're recommending. And so this is why in the field that I've chosen to work in, I choose to specialize in areas that have a lot of science and a lot of clinical research to back up their use and their effectiveness. So, for example, the essential fatty acids, which we know are one of the top studied areas. And so I think as the mainstream becomes more keen on recommending natural medicine, it will have to do with the amount of research that we can prevent and provide in the natural industry.
Have you seen the movie Super Size Me?
Yes, I have.
And what were your thoughts on that presentation?
Well, I thought it was very interesting and actually fairly accurate and scary. And I think it did a lot to open up the eyes of North Americans in terms of what are we putting in our mouths every day. And the fact that what we do eat every single meal will influence our health, and we can get very ill by the types of foods that we're consuming. And so I think that it was perhaps, you know, a little bit over the top, because I don't think anyone's going to go to that extreme of eating McDonald's every single day for every meal. But I think that it was fairly enlightening to a lot of people to see that, yeah, this is what can happen if we're not choosing the appropriate foods and nutrients.
And if he would have chosen, say, for example, to eat 18 cases of oranges or apples over the same course or time of period, that the effects would not be equal to what he did, right?
Right. Exactly.
So natural food and refined processed food, we know that it doesn't have the impact of good whole food. But I think that people are critical of maybe dietitians to some degree in terms of what I've been told, because the hospital food in most hospitals, most people give a big thumbs down.
Oh, yeah.
And they know that
double thumbs down.
And they know that dietitians are behind the construct of the food. And then a lot of people are critical of what people eat in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
And there's dietitians behind that, too.
Yep.
So I think that the best person out there is someone like you who's enlightened in both areas. It's almost
right.
like those orthomolecular physicians and alternative natural medical doctors.
Right.
They've got that science background and that traditional reference point.
Mm-hmm.
But they also are aware of maybe the science that's helping to change the world. So you can get at these people that need to be enlightened, which is a great thing.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I totally agree. And I wouldn't change my schooling or my conventional training for anything, because I think it's really important. And when you do a degree in human nutrition, it's complex, as you know. And so I think that training that I had really gave me a much deeper understanding of the human body and the nutrients that we do require, yet it needs to be taken one step further. And now I'm seeing more dietetic programs incorporate natural alternative therapy classes into their degree program. For example, I took a natural alternative therapy class in my fourth year of my nutrition degree, and so we're kind of just on the cusp of starting that, and I think that it just needs to be taken one step further. And that is why I think it's fantastic that post-degree, I've been able to spend so much time researching the science and researching all the natural medicines that are out there and really educating myself on the importance of natural medicine and plants and vitamin and mineral supplementation.
Now, regarding plants, let's get into flax. I mean, you've seen it from the soil to the seed to its processing. And maybe you could just enlighten us as to what flax is and why it's regarded with such incredible value in the health food industry.
Well, absolutely. And flax, I mean, flax has been around for thousands and thousands of years, and I really think Mother Nature created the almost perfect food, because when you look at the nutritional profile of flax, it's just amazing. And everyone, of course, always thinks about flax for its omega-3 fatty acids, which are, of course, very important. Now we know, in terms of the science, that we can look towards the long-chain omega-3s from fish oil as perhaps being even more important. But if we take a look at flax, yes, those omega-3s are important, but beyond that, they also provide such an amazing balance of fiber. And I always say we live in this very fiber-deficient society where we eat everything that comes from a box, a bag, a freezer bag, a can. Everything's been refined and processed to some extent, and so we're lacking a lot of the dietary fiber that was once part of our diet. And so if we take a look at flax, and if we incorporate ground up flax seeds into our yogurts and cereals and smoothies in the morning, we can get an almost perfect balance of both soluble and insoluble fiber. And flax also, of course, is a great source of protein. For those vegetarians looking for protein sources, it does contain all of the essential amino acids, which is extremely important because we know those are the building blocks of protein, and we want to make sure that we are getting those essential amino acids, and flax will provide that for us as well. And then we're seeing now a lot of the science with flax turning towards a very important nutrient group called lignans. And lignans are these phytoestrogenic compounds that help to modulate hormone levels. And so they've shown some significant promise in the area of breast cancer prevention and treatment, in the area of menopausal hot flashes, PMS, and overall women's hormonal health. as well as men's health, actually, and we've actually seen some nice science in the area of prostate cancer prevention. And so flaxseed is really full of nutrients with the good fats, the healthy proteins, the fiber, the lignans, and so you can really get it all in that flax. And I think that this is part of the reason we've seen such respect given to the flaxseed in the nutrition industry. And it's hard to go into the health food store or even into a lot of mainstream stores now and not see bins of both golden and brown flaxseed, see flax oil products sold, flax soft gels. So there's a lot of different ways in which we can achieve these healthy nutrients if we shop in some of these stores.
Now, I've been asked, and I'm sure you have, which is better, to grind up the seeds into a meal or to take the flaxseed oil?
Oh, good question. And personally, and from what I've seen with the research, definitely to do the ground flax seeds. You can buy the flax seeds whole or in bulk form. You can grind them up in your coffee grinder, or you can actually purchase them already ground or milled, and you can usually buy them in vacuum-sealed bags. And they're very convenient. You just keep them in the refrigerator. You add them into your yogurts, your smoothies, etc., and it's a great way to get all those nutrients that I was just talking about. The flax oil is good, and again, it's something if you want to add to smoothies and whatnot, it is good. However, when you use the flax oil, you're missing a lot of the other components of the flax seed. So you're not going to get the lignans, the fiber, the protein. You're only going to get the omega-3 oil. Now, unless you're a vegetarian, I generally recommend people to get their omega-3 fatty acids from fatty fish and fish oil supplements, because it's those long-chain omega-3s found in the fish oil that we really need for heart disease prevention, for healthy cell fluidity, etc. So the flax oil is good, but I definitely recommend the ground-up flax seeds as a way to receive all the nutrients that we need.
Now, wouldn't this be kind of a blockade or a debatable issue or controversy? Let's say that you're a vegetarian and you refuse to eat fish or any animals whatsoever, and you've got an aging body, and we know that the conversion of that parent omega-3 linolenic acid is somewhat compromised or not converted into EPA and DHA as effectively maybe as in the younger body. Would you say that's true?
I would agree with that 100%. We're seeing decreased conversion in almost every age group, and it has to do a lot with stress, environmental pollution, a high concentration of trans fats and sugar in our diet, the aging process, all of these different things influence that conversion rate. And so we generally say the conversion is about 7 to 10% of the ALA, which is found in the flax oil, down into the EPA and DHA. So we're really getting limited conversion.
So that could affect thyroid health, it could affect adrenal health, it could affect the endocrine system and immune status, couldn't it?
Yes. Absolutely.
So what do you say to a vegan who says, I don't believe that I need to eat meat, chicken, or fish, or any animals? What do you say to that?
It's a tough call, and I deal with this all the time, actually, when I'm doing consumer seminars. And what I find is there is a large percentage of the population that is vegetarian, or to then an even lesser extent, vegan. Those diets are extremely difficult. And to be honest with you, Corey, and I'm not sure if you've seen this in some of your own practice, I've yet to see a really, truly healthy vegetarian.
Bingo.
It's very, very difficult to be really healthy if you're eliminating all those important sources of the healthy proteins and healthy fats from the diet. And I've yet to meet a super healthy vegetarian. And so if they're lacking in energy, their hair is dry and brittle, that's the reason. And so, you know, I have over the years seen vegetarians who have, say, for example, not eaten meat or fish or anything like that for a period of 20 years start taking fish oil supplements because they know that their body is so lacking in those important fats, and they're depressed and they have no energy. And as soon as they start incorporating those healthy fats, it makes a tremendous difference on their health. The improvement they see in all areas is just remarkable. And so I don't know if you could agree with me on that, but I think that vegetarians really need to take a look at some of the nutrients that they are lacking in their diet that could be affecting their health overall. And in the long run, you know, I always say, you know, when you're 20 and you're 30, you think you're invincible, right? And
yes,
you can eat anything or not eat anything, and you're not going to notice a big difference in your health. Well, wait until you're 40, 50, 60, and we see a lot of the effects of aging, and some of these nutrients that we perhaps lacking start to really influence the overall health of our body. And then we say to ourselves, perhaps I should have made some of these changes years ago and I wouldn't be running into these problems that I'm experiencing now.
Well, in my experience, I'm concerned with the motive. Like, I try and find out why people are doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the construct is almost like an idealism, but there's no parallelism between it and science.
Right.
So when you're doing something for the good of mankind or to preserve animals or whatever, but then you yourself become deficient in an essential element, that doesn't seem to make sense when your own health is being compromised.
I agree with you 100%. And there are a lot of people that are vegetarians for those reasons, because they can't handle the thought of the animals being killed or us eating animals. And they've got some other sort of political, maybe religious reasons as to why they're not doing it, but it's affecting their own health. And so I agree with you 100% on that. And I just think that vegetarians, they need to be so careful in their planning. Everybody should plan their diet, but when you're a vegetarian, you need to plan times 10. And it becomes very difficult to be healthy. And I don't think that we should compromise our health in terms of missing some of these nutrients. And perhaps if you're not willing to eat the meat or eat the fish, I have seen people then choose to use supplemental forms. And you can buy fish oil supplements in liquid form, so then you're not getting the gelatin from the soft gel. So there are other ways. And when they're eating the fish oil, it's the sole purpose of receiving those EPA and DHA fatty acids. Let's face it, the science is irrefutable in this area. I mean, this is one of the hottest categories, one of the areas that has the most science. We've even got mainstream medical organizations like the American Heart Association on board recommending fish oil supplements. And so I don't think that people can really say, well, I don't think I need it, or it's not important for me, because yes, it absolutely is.
You know, what Tracy and I have seen is a lot of young girls adopt this sort of vegan approach.
Mm-hmm.
And as a female, as a woman yourself, why is it that an overwhelming number of women, girls, as opposed to men, mm-hmm. fall into this trap of thinking that they need to stop eating meat and then become deficient? Like, we know a girl that's related to our family as a friend, and she's actually become anorexic and suffering with psychosomatic disorders. So why do you think that such a prevalence are females that get into this kind of thought process?
Yeah, you're right. And I don't know the statistics on that, but it definitely does seem to be higher female than male population. And I really think it has to do with body image. And it all comes down to women wanting to be thinner and feeling that if they stop eating meat and they eat a vegetarian or vegan type of diet, that's going to help them achieve that body image that they're looking for. And I think that we can look back, I mean, and as a nutritionist and dietitian, this was one area that we actually studied quite a lot in school, was the area of eating disorders. And I mean, there's such a psychological component to it, and such a pressure from society to be a certain way. And if you take a look at the typical person who falls in that category, they generally come from middle-class families. There's a lot of pressure to be perfect at almost everything they do, and this is just one extension of that. And so it's kind of like a way for them to control their body by saying, I'm not going to eat meat, I'm going to suffer and eat this very restrictive style diet in order to maintain some type of control over my life. And I think that it's very, very sad, and we see this so much in young girls. Yet I find it interesting, I see a lot of teenage girls who are vegetarian, yet they'll eat french fries and they'll eat some of these other really unhealthy foods. And so, you know, just because you're a vegetarian, you're not going to eat meat, doesn't mean that it should be a way of a healthy diet, not a way of just saying, oh, I'm not going to eat meat, but then I'm going to eat every other kind of unhealthy food out there. So this is definitely an area where we could spend a lot more time educating and promoting healthy lifestyles too, is that population of vegetarians and young girls that seem to fit in with that and utilize that diet as a way to gain control and try to maintain that body that they're looking for.
Now, that's excellent. That's an excellent insight. And see, people need to hear you saying that, and sometimes they don't get that information from their parents, or they're
that's
too
true.
Close.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, again, you pin the tail on the donkey when you refer to science as what's required to elevate and motivate and inspire us to make these changes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, let's get into athletics and sports nutrition a little bit. How can you see essential omega-3 fats being of benefit to, say, athletes, both men and women?
Wow, absolutely. And I think you'd see that you've probably seen it yourself in your own health. I know certainly I have. And if anybody ever heard Hillary Swank's testimony for the Million Dollar Baby of how she got such an amazingly fit body with those muscles, it was from flax oil. And it was from incorporating more omega-3 fatty acids. And they are so critical. If we take a look at every single cell in our body, is composed of a fat. And so fat is kind of like the glue that holds us together. And so if we don't have healthy fats, we're not going to have healthy cells. Healthy cells build healthy muscle cells. And so we really need to have a significant amount of omega-3 fatty acids in our diet. And I know athletes that could almost do a whole bottle of flax oil a day, especially if they're really into the weightlifting type area. So we need those cells to help promote and help to develop healthy muscle cells. We need those omega-3s for recovery, because we all know if you lift weights and work out at the gym, of course we all tear muscle a little bit, we get sore, we have that feeling. The oils and the omega-3 oils with their anti-inflammatory benefits are going to help to control some of that pain and inflammation we may experience. They're going to help with muscle recovery, they help with endurance, they help with energy. It's such an important nutrient group that every athlete, anybody who's doing cardiovascular and resistance training, bodybuilding, muscle building, whatever it is, we all need to be incorporating more omega-3s into our diet.
Now, what connection would the omega-3s have to testosterone chemistry and maybe insulin sensitivity?
Well, definitely on the area of insulin sensitivity, there's a large amount of research actually with the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids helping to prevent insulin resistance. And, of course, this is actually what my newest book is about, is this phenomenon called insulin resistance or prediabetes, something that we're seeing, you know, in the U.S. We've got statistics like 40-some million Americans having insulin resistance. And so the healthy fats are really important in controlling that insulin response. And a lot of these conditions are inflammatory-type conditions. And it's years ago, did we ever talk about inflammatory disease? No, not really. We didn't really think about inflammation like we do today. And so what we're seeing is, where are we getting all that inflammation from? Well, we're getting it from our diet. How can we control it? We need to incorporate more of these omega-3 fatty acids in order to control that insulin response, to build healthy cells, to improve insulin sensitivity. And of course, with the science that we see, the fats play a role in the balancing of all hormones. So in women, of course, we talk about estrogen-progesterone balancing, and in men, in the testosterone. And so we take a look, and the science isn't completely clear in this area, although it does indicate that the fats play a critical role in the balancing of all these hormones. And so, again, the need to not only just rely on our food, because we know we're not going to get these good fats from our food like we once did, but to incorporate some of these long-chain omega-3s from fish oil into our supplement regime.
And what about sports injuries? Can you see a role for essential fats and other vitamins and mineral supplements and botanicals in helping athletes as an alternative to the stereotypical NSAIDs and aspirin?
Oh, absolutely. And this is the area where the fats actually shine, and that's in the area of anti-inflammation. And so there's been significant amount of research, actually, not just on the omega-3 side, but on a fatty acid called GLA. And I don't know if your listeners have ever heard of GLA before, but it's a fatty acid that's found in evening primrose and borage oil. And it's by far one of the most anti-inflammatory effects because of the type of prostaglandins, which is a hormone-type compound that lowers inflammation. And there's been studies done, an analysis done, looking at patients who are on non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs at the beginning of the study. Then over the course of 3 to 6 months, they're able to go off of their NSAIDs when they start incorporating GLA into their supplements. And we've seen this primarily studied with patients with rheumatoid arthritis. And we all know that that's such a pro-inflammatory condition. And GLA has remarkable benefits on that inflammatory response. Personally, I've used GLA with great success. I have an autoimmune condition called mixed connective tissue disease. And I was diagnosed with it when I was 19 years old. And, of course, I was in university at the time. Didn't know a lot about natural medicine because, of course, I was studying a mainstream nutrition degree. And at that time, I was on a drug called Plaquenil, which is a drug given to lupus sufferers and people it's an anti-malarial type drug. I was taking 8 to 10 Advil a day. And then I started incorporating GLA once I started working in the natural health field. I started researching natural anti-inflammatories and came across this great science on GLA. Started taking about 9 to 12 soft gels of GLA a day, of borage oil a day. And within the matter of a few months, I was no longer on the Plaquenil. I never now have to take the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So the power of these oils is incredible. And so we can look at that at anti-inflammatory disease and relate the same thing back to athletes. And unfortunately, I personally haven't seen, and I try to keep up with the research as best I can on PubMed and some of the other medical databases out there, but there isn't as much science in the area of athlete and injury prevention as what we would like there to be. So perhaps this is an area that will continue to grow. But if you take a look at the basic physiology and the reason why we want to incorporate these good fats, it's no different if we look at somebody with arthritis and inflammation pain, or we look at athletes that are on non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs to help deal with their recovery and some the inflammation and pain that they experience from that. And so these good fats, combinations of both omega-6 and omega-3, can play a very, very significant role.
We've got time for one more question, and that would be, if I have a problem with weight management, I've got an excess amount of body fat, how can taking fat possibly help me lose my fat?
Oh, the age-old question, doesn't fat make you fat? Isn't that that's the concern among all consumers, right? Is that you take fat, you're going to get fat. Well, actually, there's some remarkable data in this area that it's actually the sugar in our diet and all the refined high glycemic index carbohydrates that promote fat storage more than fat. And certain types of fat actually help to burn fat. And that's what these good essential fatty acids do, is they actually increase our body's fat burning mechanism. They increase our metabolism. They get burned for energy more so than getting stored as fat. And that's one of the amazing things about these good oils. One of the other fatty acids that's not an essential fat but has some really great science in fat loss is that of conjugated linoleic acid, also known as CLA. And I don't know if you've ever recommended that before, but it's an incredible fat in terms of its fat-burning ability. It stimulates something called lipolysis, which is the breakdown of fat, and it actually blocks the enzyme that takes carbohydrate and sugar in our diet and converts it to fat. Because we all know if we have excess carbohydrates and excess sugar, our body can only burn so much of it. The rest of it gets stored as fat. And so CLA has been proven to come in and halt that conversion of carbohydrate into fat storage. And so the science in this area is truly remarkable. And anyone who incorporates these good fats in their diet knows that they don't gain weight. And in fact, if anything, it gives you more energy and it helps you to burn fat more efficiently.
Well, I think I have finally come up against someone who can outdo me in terms of speaking without taking a breath.
Well, thank you.
And thank God I've got lots of myoglobin in my muscles, because I learned as a young boy that I could swim underwater for incredibly long periods of time.
Uh-huh.
So I think you and I should have a contest.
I think we
publicly
should have a contest. Yeah, as Canadians, you know, we like to talk lots.
Hey, comedy is part of the healing process, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely.
And humor. And, you know, this has been a remarkable interlude, and thank you so much. You're just a wealth of information. Definitely look forward to meeting you at the show coming in Toronto. And do you have a website that our listeners can go to find out more about you and the books that you have?
Well, there's a website that the listeners can go to on fats and oils. It's called fatsforhealth.com. Yeah, fatsforhealth.com. Personally, my website is still under construction, so I don't have that website available right now. But, of course, all the listeners can purchase my books. My new metabolic syndrome book is out in bookstores right now. And they can look for the Healthy Fats for Life book online. And I'm around doing seminars, so I hope to see you this weekend in Toronto.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. And just to bring this interview to a conclusion, we do have a current theme this year on SNU, and we would like to ask you, as an expert in health and a person that is committed truly and obviously to educating the world in sports nutrition, health, and fitness, and helping people achieve better health, what is health to you, and how would you define it?
That's a great question, and that's a great theme to have going. And one of the things I always say when I finish my seminars, especially to public and to the consumers who are just, you know, starting out on this health journey, can be very overwhelming, right? So much different information, so many products, et cetera. What I always say is to everybody is, remember to live, love, and laugh. And I think that if we take a look at our life that way, we can live each day to the fullest. We're only given a certain amount of time here on this earth. We need to make the most of every single day. We need to love our friends and family. We need to laugh and, like you said, incorporate humor, and it's part of the healing process. And health is different to everybody, but I think if we can incorporate a spiritual faith element, the food, the exercise, and the activity, and remember to live, love, and laugh, to me, that's what optimal health is.
Carlene Karst is a leading health specialist in nutrition and natural medicine and is truly dedicated to helping people improve their lives by sharing the power of her knowledge. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.